Rudy Ponco, you were born and raised in Ketchikan, is that correct?
Yeah, born and raised.
And I do not recall seeing you in productions in Ketchikan. Were you involved in theater and film work and things here?
So, yeah, I was. I was always, like, fascinated with it, but I really wasn't really drawn to it until the last couple of years of high school. I'd say my brother, Alec, was more of somebody I looked up to as the theater kid because he, like, did Stuart Little, you know, King Arthur, and I saw him doing it, and I saw it, and I was like, I always admired how he handled it and how he learned his lines in the living room, and I was like, damn, like, he's really giving this all his time and his effort, and but I did do Oliver Twist and all those the theatrical plays that Elizabeth did, and yourself, Maria. I remember watching you in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I was just always inspired by, like, how you were able to literally inspire me to, like, feel that and believe that you're somebody else. And I was just like, man, that's so sick. That's so cool. But I wouldn't say that I really dove into the theatrical world until, until I came out to L.A., like, is when I really started falling in love again with theater.
And why did you go to L.A.?
So that's an excellent question. And I think the correct answer would be is I'm one of those actors that couldn't say, like, I knew acting was exactly what I wanted to do. I did know, however, that whatever I wanted to do, it wasn't going to be in the scholastic world. It was I'm from the artistic cloth. Like, it's just, that's what I knew I had to do. And I always knew I would love to pursue acting, but I didn't think it was going to be something I would, like, career-wise, I didn't think it was actually going to be something I would pursue. I moved out to L.A. to literally find myself as a person, but also to experience, like, life where I wanted and how I wanted to, because when I was in Ketchikan and everyone's saying, go to college, do this, Rudy, you should do that, none of it really hooked me. And I think in that small town, kids feel like they're so pressured into going to college or getting on a fishing boat that it's like, sometimes it's hard for them to ask the question, what do you want to do? Because so many people are telling you what you should do. And I moved out to L.A. because I felt like it was the right thing to do and pursue something I really felt passionate for. And I can't say truthfully that I knew it was going to work until I came out to L.A. of like, all right, I'm dedicating my life to this craft, because that didn't happen until I moved out here.
How long ago was that?
That was coming up on 4 years. It's 3.5 years right now.
So were you like 18 when you moved there? 19? How old were you when you went down there?
I just turned 19.
Okay, so it was like just got out of high school, a little past that, and decided to go to L.A. And then what did you do to pursue this? Did you take classes? Did you just start, hey, I'm just going to start auditioning? What did you do?
So what I did was I kind of went into survival mode and like was like, Rudy, if you're going to give this the shot that it deserves, you need to like dedicate all your time to it. So I surrounded myself with a group of friends that were also doing the same thing, which I was lucky enough to find. And I went and straight, all these friends took this acting class called Lauren Patrice Nadler Studios. And it was an improv class. And I started getting my improv skills down. And that is a huge part of my success right now, is that I took improv first. I think what that taught me was to be able to relax in my own self, my own being as a person, before I could be somebody else. So I took a class, and this class also provided a scene study class. And something I need to dedicate to Lauren Patrice Nadler in particular is that she provided good writing. She didn't say, go find a scene from a movie, go find a little clip or a little scripture from a book to act out or anything. she took screenwriters, like really successful screenwriters, you name it, like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, A Death of a Salesman, This Is Our Youth by Kenneth Lonergan, Golden Boy. They're like all these really great screenplays, and she would assign her students these scenes from these plays. And something I realized now after taking that class was that these are writers that are trained like for their entire life. Like, they weren't knowing that they were being trained their entire life, but they were so in tune with their instrument as writers that it came out of me, and it took a long time, but it came out of me, and all of a sudden I fell in love with the writing of these, like, screenplays, and I was just so, like, I instantly clicked into, like, it's not about the actor, it's not about the limelight, it's about the story of living as somebody else and bringing that justice. That was huge, and I didn't realize that for a long time. But then once I got that, things started changing.
And maybe you can speak about some of your roles, like maybe some of the early things that you did and how you kind of got that first start and getting recognized.
So, yeah, I to be honest, I'd say I'm not recognized to this day. I think I started, like, feeling like people were aware of my craft and aware of my dedication to it. After I did a little short called Deviant. Like, it was a great short film, and I can't stress on how it really changed how I looked at just, like, the whole entire, like, it doesn't need to be a big project, doesn't need to be something that's gonna make you famous or anything, but, like, all you need to do is just really give these characters justice. And that's when I did Deviant, and the character that I played was a gay boy in the 1950s who goes through shock therapy because his family didn't approve of his sexuality. And it was just, I think it was like 8 minutes long. And it went to festivals. It did really well at festivals. The director, Ben Howard, he really was a great director, and he broke down exactly what this story was about for reasons that I can't really say, but he really trusted me as his character. And after that, I got a manager, I got an agent, because that was footage. It was footage of me really dedicating to the craft.
And you've done more since then.
Yes. Oh, yes. No, there's been a feature film that's coming out called Space Waves. There's been the Muse music video, Thought Contagion. I think that was like one of the first things I think some people from Ketchikan and all over the world kind of were like, oh shoot, like this kid's like an actor now? ? Which was man, it was such a fun project to do. And then The Politician recently. I think that was earlier last year. I think Politician came out last summer, if I'm mistaken. I don't know. But that was something I did, and that got me a nice little bit of recognition there. But I would really say, like, things started changing for how I really started picking up after Deviant, because it was like, all right, I know what I'm doing now. Because it worked. I see that I'm getting feedback that this is how it's done.
And you've been cast in a Netflix series, I believe it's a series, Outer Banks. But tell us a bit about that show, that project, and your character.
Yeah. So, The Outer Banks supposedly takes place in a fictional town called Kildare County in the Outer Banks. And it's a really fun ride that I would say it's like Goonies mixed with, I like saying Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but like some other people say Ozark. What's another one? Like Dawson's Creek. I don't know if anybody's seen that, but that's what I also compare it to. It's about like a group of ragtag kids get a whiff of this treasure, and we think it's tied to the disappearance of one of our friends' dad, the main character, John B. His dad goes missing, and we don't know how or why he's been gone for so long. And we kind of, John B. gets the idea that it's tied to his dad, this treasure that is we're kind of all of a sudden smelling. My character, JJ, probably, I mean, he cares about John B. and his sanity, but, like, really I think JJ, the character that I play, is kind of a carefree, wild soul. So, like, he's kind of in it for the fame and glory of the gold, but I also think there's a sensitive side to John B., to John B.'s pain, and JJ sees that, and he's like, all right, this is going to help my friend get through this, and so he kind of just eggs him on of like, all right, if you think this is a good idea, we're going to it. We're going full kook is the quote. Kooks being the rich kids of the Outer Banks. So something I have to add is that in the Outer Banks show, there are pogues and kooks. Pogues being the Southside kids, where it's like poor, kind of have two jobs and are, you know, the working class of the Outer Banks. And then kooks being the two houses, kind of live on the higher end of the Outer Banks. And you know, I don't really associate it with kooks. That's the stereotype in the show, as my character is the complete opposite of a kook. And but that doesn't mean that JJ doesn't want to be a kook, which is kind of the fun joke that my character continues doing, is that he's like, well, I wouldn't mind being a kook, but man, do they suck. And that's kind of JJ's take on life at the moment.
This is a series, so you filmed the first season, is that correct? Is there, and obviously it hasn't come out yet, but are there thoughts of if it's successful, there would be future seasons?
Yeah, we're hoping so. So that really depends on, well, how successful the show does. There's definitely talk about season two, and I can't say for sure. Like, it's kind of in the works, and the official word, I think, is to be announced. It's kind of unclear at the moment. But, yeah, just the first season. We're just in the first season right now.
And where was this filmed?
This was filmed in Charleston, actually. Charleston, South Carolina.
All right, so you were in that area doing the filming. And who? Tell me about, I guess, the other cast members. You don't have to get into a lot of detail, but what was it like working with the people you worked with?
Oh, it was so great. It was amazing. Like that's something I think Jonas, the show creator, and Josh, his brother, the writer, really did very well with the casting, because they were taking their sweet time with it. But they found an amazing group of actors that really are connected to the characters they play, I think, in real life. Like, I think all the characters were casted as such because they had certain qualities about the characters they're playing in the show that were something that, like, really, I mean, this is kind of for any, like, role you play as an actor, but I think Outer Banks in particular, every character has a certain connection that is more so than I think I could ever say I've worked on any project. Like, the Pogues are John B., who is played by Chase Stokes, Kiara, who is played by Madison Bailey, and Pope, who is played by Jonathan Davis. All those characters, let me just say this, like, I met JD first, and instantly, me and JD became immediate friends because we loved the same movies. We met the first chemistry read that we did. We were just instantly like, all right, what's your number? Can we hang out? And we hung out after the chemistry reunion and just chilled. for the entire day. And then Chase, the guy that plays John B., the main character, I met him in Charleston, and the next day we were living together. Like, we moved in together, and we stayed in the same apartment throughout all of shooting. We were just living with each other, and I play his best friend, JJ. And, like, I can't really put it into words exactly of, like, how we gelled so fast. And I think that's going to show in this show.
With shows premiering and this one coming up soon, normally there's, you know, big fanfare, there's lots of publicity, media events, so to speak. But given the quarantine, I imagine things are a little different with this and being able to, like, go out there and promote the show.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I mean, hey, I'm, like, in my pajamas right now. Like, I'm still chilling out at the apartment, just laying low and staying safe. But, like, there's stuff in the works. There's, I think, all the cast members that I'm talking to are, like, still going and having interviews, because everybody wants to make it work and everyone wants to promote the show, but we just got to do it safely.
And how are you doing down there, given what's going on with this coronavirus?
Doing fine. I think, I mean, heck, I can say that I'm doing better than most, which is sad, but I'm thankful that for the all essential workers that are doing as much as they can right now, and I'm thankful that I'm healthy, but more importantly that it's like we just gotta continue staying inside. And I mean, yeah, it's kind of, when I start thinking about it, Maria, it's just kind of like, all right, the reason why I'm staying inside is because of this. Like, it's because of like, this thing just is not just in the United States. This is a worldwide pandemic. And, like, I mean, all I can say is that I think that I really am praying that it's going to start going down here in a couple of days. And this will be something that I'll never forget.
I think none of us will forget this. Quite a different time. Quite a different time. And so I did the opposite of you. I actually grew up in the L.A. area, moved to Alaska. You grew up in Alaska and moved to L.A. How is that difference, that transition? It sounds like L.A. is a good fit for you.
Well, I'm happy that's the consensus up in Alaska. I mean, I want to ask you a question after I answer yours. Is like, well, first, moving from Ketchikan to L.A., talk about a culture shock. And like I said, I went into a survival mode when I came out here. So it's like you go from a town of, I think, what, isn't it like 13,000 people in Ketchikan or something like
That's
that?
That's pretty close, and, right?
Yeah, to like millions. And I kind of just went into my hermit shell and really was like, what are you here for? So I wouldn't say L.A. is a good fit. I'd say the personality I put on and the persona that I and my drive that I kind of saw and I had to adapt to is the how I survived L.A. I wouldn't say I would want to like live here for the rest of my life, but I can say that I'm comfortable in L.A. being the person that I first came out and remembering where I came from, and from a small town of Ketchikan, and that I'm nobody else than other than that kid that grew up in on Pitcher Street in Alaska, and I just got to keep reminding myself that that's who I am. So like I gotta ask you, like when you moved to Alaska, was the feeling relief or something? Like I just want to know. I actually didn't know that, so I'm like, what was your feeling? I'm sorry that this is an interview, but on me, but I'm curious.
That's all right. I'll answer. So for me, I just never felt that I fit in L.A. It was very much, you know, you have to look a certain way, you have to dress a certain way, you have to be at a certain pace. So I always felt a little, you know, in the wrong place, so to speak. And I just had an opportunity to go to a job in Alaska. Never had thought in my life about going to Alaska, but it was just, sure, I'll go there. And ended up moving to Juneau. And I remember my first thoughts were, oh, I'll go outside when it stops raining. And then I realized I'll never go outside if I wait for it to stop raining. And Juneau has far less rain than Ketchikan. So anyway, I just eventually got used to sort of the difference. I enjoyed just the slower pace in life, that you weren't always go, go, go. And I actually didn't even mind the traffic down in LA. I know everybody goes crazy. I mean, I didn't like it, but it's more so the air quality and then just that go, go, go kind of pace. And so I don't know, Alaska just felt like a good fit. I've been here for... what now? 30 years. So there you go.
No, I think we have a similar outlook on how we went from each other's places to from Ketchikan to LA, from LA to Ketchikan. Because when I came out here, it's like, all right, well, we're gonna really figure it out when we get there, and that's how I felt about it. And I think something important that I think Alaska or any small town really does is that you have the ability to find who you are. And I think in big cities, when so much of like, this is how you should look like, this is how you should be, I was able to find out that, like, when I say, yeah, that's what it is. It's like when I moved out here, is that I saw that thrown in my face. And something I think Ketchikan did really well is that you don't need to like figure out who you are. Like you don't need to know exactly how you fit in. And being from such a great isolated area kind of really formed like, all right, there's a freedom to not knowing who you are as a person. And I think partially why I act is that I can do that control now, is that like I'm comfortable not knowing exactly who I am, and that allows me to be different people. And I think I'm thankful for growing up in such a small town because of that reason in particular, is that there's nobody telling you that you need to be this person, and you're allowed to figure it out by yourself.
I want to go back to something that I said a little while back when I said it seems like LA is a good fit for you, or you feel like that. But I think it's more so I can just totally sense your excitement, your passion for acting, and at least the opportunities that that place offers, acting-wise, is maybe what I mean is an excellent fit.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. It's just, it gives me the opportunity to pursue it. But other than that, like, there's a lot of, I don't know if I can swear, but there's a lot of bullshit in these cities that you got to steer clear from. And that was the friend group my friend group were able to point that out to me and like, don't do that and don't do that and don't do that, do this. And it was pretty simpler than not. Like, it was just like, do the work, which is sit down, do good writing, continue to submit yourself, look for a project, and then everything else will fall in place, whether it's an agent, manager, and all of a sudden where you want to go will all of a sudden pay off if you can just focus on this. So thanks. I have a lot of people that I can thank, honestly. Like, there's no ego here saying that I did this by myself, because that is definitely not true.
Okay, so again, Outer Banks is coming up, premiering on Netflix April 15th. Do you have any other projects in the works, or is that kind of keeping your time for right now?
There are some things in the works. I'm not right now currently able to say, but there is definitely some things in the near future. But at the time being, I can't really say much more than that.
I know. I've asked that question of others before. So anyway, those are my main questions. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, I do want to add some stuff. Really quickly, guys, just, again, Ketchikan. Yeah, with this pandemic going on, I know there's a lot of space out there, but please continue to do this because this will continue to be a thing all throughout 2020 until that vaccination is made. So please continue just washing those hands and keeping the awareness that it's not going to go away for a little while. And then lastly, not least, I just want to say some thank yous, if that's okay, Maria.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, first things first, Mom, I love you. And this goes out to you. I thank you so much. My brothers, of course, Alec and Henning. And then, really quickly, my all my teachers and my friends that I went to high school with, and even before that, Schoenbar, homeschool, like, all those teachers played a huge part of just, like really expanding my creativity brain. And, like, man, Mr. Lund, Bowman, music, all my music teachers, holy cow, can't stress that enough. But then, like, childhood friends, all right? And, like, you know who you are. I have to say this person because I just got off the phone with him, and I love him so much. John Stack, I know you're out there. I love you so much. Goodness gracious. You taught me so much as a kid. Kenny, Leif, Jake, oh, my gosh, I could keep going. But I know everybody out there is, like, stoked. But this is for you guys, and I can't believe that, you know, it's happening. I love you guys.
All right. Well, great. Thank you so much. And I know there's probably many more names you wanted to list, but
they'll know.
Yeah, I was going to say they'll know. They'll forgive you that you didn't remember, but I'm sure you'll remember others later.
I probably shouldn't have said anything because I just should have called out those people that are off the top of my head. There's so many more out there. Holy cow. I'm all of a sudden realizing how many I missed. But yeah, love you guys.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much, and congratulations, and looking forward to the premiere.
All right. Thank you, Maria.
All right. Thank you very much.